Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Chester, and welcome to the Move It or Lose It podcast, a podcast about all things that move the mind, body, and soul. The Move It or Lose It podcast is for information, awareness, and inspirational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I don't even play one on TV. So please consult with your doctor before making any medical decisions. The views expressed by advertisers, guests, or contributors are their opinions and not necessarily the views of the Move It or Lose It podcast. Hello, welcome to another edition of Move It or Lose It, the podcast where we talk about all things MS related and different injuries, different autoimmune diseases, different spinal injuries, and all things like that. So today, one of my favorite interesting things that I've seen in many moons that we love to talk about, different devices, different things that help us to be able to move around. And movement, as we know, are one of my favorite things to talk about. So the inventor of Neo Walk Sticks, we've got Lindsay Watterson is with us today. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for being on Move It or Lose It today.
Thank you for inviting me, Kathy. I've been really looking forward to speaking to you.
Yes, for sure. Lindsay, the more I read about you and the exciting things that you've done and just how you've created such an amazing invention, and now that I've got one of your walking sticks, I am so incredibly impressed by you. Okay, I want to go back to life before Neo's walking sticks were ever even in your brain. What was life like?
I was a mom, still am a mom, got two gorgeous kids, older kids now, they're adults now. I was actually a hairdresser. Okay. I'd trained and qualified to be a hairdresser in later life because the ambition was to set up my own business and set up my own salon and that kind of thing. So that was what I was working towards.
Okay. So then what happened then?
So I'd had arthritis since I was in my teens. One of my knees in particular was pretty severe. So at the age of 39, my surgeon opted to do a knee replacement on me. Okay. And get me mobile again because I'd actually ground to a halt where I could walk properly and I was in a lot of pain. But during one of the surgeries, I contracted an MRSA infection inside the knee, and then I was stitched up and sent home, and the infection bubbled away for about 4 months and with catastrophic results. Ultimately, it was 3 years later, I opted to have my leg amputated because I was left with an unusable leg, and all it was doing was holding me back. So I opted in 2010 to have my leg amputated above the knee. So, and then another adventure began.
Wow. And that must have been devastating as a young mom to have that happen and really change everything.
Yeah, changed everything. I could no longer make that plan to go to do the job that I wanted to do.
Right.
I had to rehabilitate and get my strength back because I had been very, very poorly when I had the infection. But actually, when I caught the infection and I was left with this severely damaged leg, at that point, I'd already lost it. It stopped being a team player. All it was doing was holding me back. So I allowed myself those 3 years to actually come to terms with the idea of having the leg amputated. And in the end, the actual process became to me just a process of looking forward to making progress again. Okay. Because I would have a prosthetic and I would learn to walk again. And it's what I did. And it was great. It was the best decision I ever made.
Interesting, interesting. So that's because you'd already grieved it.
Completely.
Really.
And actually opting myself to have my leg amputated gave me the power back, because everything that had happened to me. I hadn't been a driving force behind any of it.
Right.
But actually opting to do that myself was really empowering.
Right.
It was a really good decision, yeah.
Very interesting. So then all of this happens, you get the prosthetic, and then you have to still use some sort of a cane, and it's not working like you want. It's kind of still aggravating. Tell us the story about that. How did they give it to you? How did it work?
So the prosthetic that the was learning to walk again, literally, it wasn't a hugely difficult process, to be honest, but it did take a lot of strength. So it involved a lot of building up new muscles and waking the old ones that thought they'd retired. And I did walk independently for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I was super active because I was only in my 40s. I was super active, bionic Lindsay.
Yeah.
But I found that some days, you know, I needed help. I needed, because if I was longer way, I would get tired. I was just getting a bit unbalanced. So I wanted a walking stick, and I couldn't see anything that looked like it belonged with me. They all looked like I'd picked one up off the side of the road and it just belonged to someone else. Do you know what I mean?
I would always say it looked like my grandma used it.
Yeah. I was embarrassed
because,
you know, there I am, you know, trying to look cool and, you know, and I'm using this flowery stick that goes click, 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 click every time I use it. And I thought, you know, we can do better than this.
Right.
I'm a big believer in if you can't find what you want, you make it yourself.
Right. But you already have that very creative gene, right?
And it's that when you have it, you do need an avenue to let it out. So I relished the idea of doing it.
Yeah.
So I decided I would make, I was still at a point where I wanted my mobility aid to be invisible. So what I was looking for was an invisible walking stick. And that was where the idea for acrylic came, clear acrylic. It was the nearest I would get to being invisible.
Okay. So explain to our listener how you even did this, because this is so interesting to me and so funny. So I'm so not creative. I always say I'm creative in workouts. I love sculpting the body and helping the body move. That's my creativity. And in the kitchen, anything other than that, it just doesn't come to me. So reading what you did is so incredible to me. So share this story.
So I needed to make this acrylic hot enough to change the shape of it, to make it into a walking stick shape. And I put one end in my kitchen oven. Can't remember the temperature. Honestly, I think I made a couple of duff ones before I even made a proper one. but then it got hot and I molded it around a wine bottle.
I love that.
Give it the curve, and I thought it's just the perfect size. You know, you pick up a wine bottle, you know how it feels.
Right.
So I thought that's going to be the perfect size, so I did.
I love that.
How the first one was born, and I went out and I used it, and it I just felt great. I just the difference, the feeling it gave me.
What was the first one? Was it just clear?
I made a clear one and I made a red one because clear, I wanted to be invisible, and then red. It's my favorite color, and using them, people were coming up to me and saying, "Oh, your walking stick's amazing. Where did you get that? I made it myself." And then it happened and happened so many times. I thought one day I said, "Oh, I have a business and I make them." And somebody said, "Oh, have you got a business card?" And I'll look on you. And I thought, you know what? This is something that I could give to other people.
Yeah.
This feeling of feeling confident and proud of it, and I wanted to give that to people.
What year was that?
That was in 2013, so it's 10 years ago.
So
that's still the mission behind what we do, because that feeling remains the same. People use a stick. Do you know what, we get emails from there's one, a lady said she hadn't left the house for 3 years because she was so ashamed to be seen with the mobility.
The stigma is so sad.
It is.
It is. It's so sickening to me. It really is.
And that's what we're trying to do, is just to shift that focus from the user onto this gorgeous walking stick.
And you're such a big part of it. When I was beginning to train for multiple sclerosis, I was debating if I was going to go and just do it on my own. And I thought, I don't know, I kind of like the idea of being under, you know, under a bigger company, something like that. And the company really, really made me feel terrible, because they said, how embarrassing for us if you were to use a walking stick, because the whole idea is that you're strong enough that you don't need anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt so embarrassed and humiliated that I may need something at the end of the day, because what I'm doing is teaching all day. So I'm using all my muscles. So Imagine I'm fatigued at the end of the day. So it made me feel embarrassed. And then, right. And I thought, you know what? I do want to be independent, because I don't want anyone to feel ever the way I felt. Mm. And so that was when I made the decision that I may not make nearly as much financially, but I don't care. Mm. I want to make sure that I make people feel good about themselves, and I give people the gift of movement. Absolutely. And never make them feel the way I did about that. Yeah. And about the stigma again of using a walking stick. Mm. And the other one was the first time, as we talked about, going to get a cane. And I remember, you know, saying that I was young, and I remember saying that, gosh, you know, I don't want to grab a cane that looks like my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And the man was young, and he said, well, I guess if you need a cane, it shouldn't matter what it looks like. And I thought, wow. And it just, you know, I mean, it's just so crazy what you face when you do need help. Yes. With this process into walking into something that is new for us and is a really big step. So it is so big what you've done and what you've created to make it easier for us to begin a step that is so hard for us.
It's a big hurdle. You know, it's a hurdle that I had to cross myself. And then I crossed another hurdle into using a wheelchair for the first time, and then another hurdle into using an electric chair for the first time. And each time there's a process that you kind of need to go through, because yes. you're grieving the loss of something that you were previously able to do.
Right.
We can't underestimate how that makes you feel. So whenever somebody comes to us, and a lot of people do come and say, it's my first walking stick, what do I do? Right. So we will hold their hand right the way through it and help them, you know, guide them how to measure, talk to them about handles, what handle shape is best. We can tap into the experience that we've had with all our customers, and we can, you know, we can share that information with them. So, and we work with do you know Gretchen Hawley?
Yeah.
We do several live programs with her during the year where she'll explain, and it's the same way that we explain it. But sometimes it's nicer to come from a medical professional.
Right.
We talk through that process, and we ask questions about what she would advise people to do. But yeah, it's a big thing. And I think the support out there, sometimes from family too. Family can be, you know, you're not coming in my wedding photographs with a walking stick.
Absolutely.
We've had that. You know, family can be lacking in support as well. There's a
Which
lot
is
of room.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think that.
But no, but there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. When you go to a hospital thing, I agree there is, you know, they don't measure. It's very odd, but you really don't get that. Remember my first stick, I was not measured. They just let me pick it out.
Really?
Yes.
And just go, does it feel comfortable? Then you're good to go then.
Yeah, there was no measuring. Actually, so when I got my first Neo stick, she said, they explained to me how to measure, because I was like, oh, I don't even know. Mm. They were stunned. And I was like, no, the last time I got one at the hospital, I wasn't measured.
Yeah. I mean, with that, there's like an industry formula for measuring how long you need a walking stick for. But the important thing to remember is everybody's different. You might prefer a bit taller or a bit shorter. Right. What we say is, if it's comfortable for you, if you've got a stick at the moment and it's a bit longer than that, but you like it, that's your thing. Right. You know, you do you. But there is standard industry advice for how to measure. But that's terrible when the industry isn't measuring you. That's terrible.
I know. But this is definitely the length for me. Absolutely, for sure. Are you battling a chronic illness like multiple sclerosis and know it's time to add exercise program and movement to your body in order for you to have the best health and independence for you? I am so excited to announce the launch of my new program, Damn It, a disrupt, move, and transform program for us autoimmune warriors with a trainer who really gets it, me. You can participate in either virtual one-on-one training, virtual group training, or both. To find out more on how you or loved one can benefit from this training, email me, msdisrupted@gmail.com. Message me on Facebook or Instagram at msdisrupted. Look at the website, msdisrupted.com. Take a look. Can't wait to see your face. Talk to us about the transition from making the sticks, because you made them at your home. So that's how you started, was just in your home. So the transition from going from that and then hiring people. So that was the first transition, and then going into a different place. How did that all feel, and how did that even work?
I still feel like a bit of an imposter, because, you know, it's going really, really well. And I started out on my own, and I ran on my own until I could no longer cope with it. I was literally frazzled. I was doing far too much. And then I took on one young lady who is still with me now. She's been with me. And now we're eight people. The interest and the support has grown so much that we're actually eight people now. And for a while, we still worked in my house. So I had four members of staff in my house working, because I had a couple of spare rooms. Fortunately, the kids had left home. There was plenty of room. So we were actually still working in the house up until June this year.
Wow.
And then at the back of my house, we actually had a building purposely changed.
Kind of adjacent to that.
And workshop. Because I've got my own disability, I'm amputee, and I've got several other chronic illnesses going on. It's really handy for me to have it there, so I don't have to go. And then days where I don't feel well enough to go into the office, I can just stay in the house, and they know I'm there. And if they want me, they can come and see me. So for me, it's the ideal compromise. But
I understand.
I loved having them in my house. It was like having friends. Lunch every day.
We've got a lovely
team. But so the transition has been I still find it bizarre when I go into the bigger workshop and bigger office, and I think, goodness, what have I done, and how did I do it? And it's just like it's amazing, and I'm very proud
of that. As you should be. I'm trying to go to the question I had, because I keep thinking Shark Tank, but it's your version of that.
Yeah,
and
Dragons.
How you went on.
Yeah.
Dragons. Okay. So talk to me about that, because that is how nerve wracking that must have been.
Well, I've watched Dragon's Den for lots of years. It's kind of, it's been on 20 years.
So right.
Everybody's kind of dipped in and out of it a bit. And some of the dragons, nice, some of them are really fierce, and I decided that I would go in and do this. We only had about 6 weeks notice to the filming, so the pressure was so incredible, because they expect you to know everything about your business inside and out. And to be fair, if you don't know it, you're a fool to go in there, because they grill you, they really do, and they're looking to trip you up. I think personally they're looking for tears and tantrums, but they didn't get one off me. When you come out of this lift and you're faced with the fiercest dragon lady is right in front of you, I was just terrified. I was utterly terrified.
You have to have such thick skin.
Oh, they're really nice people, but then they click into their TV characters.
Right, sure.
And suddenly they're being nice, and then suddenly they're looking at you and staring you down and asking you for figures and stuff. And it was nerve-wracking. This one in particular tried to trip me up a couple of times, but she didn't manage. I didn't get investment, you know, but they loved what we do. They thought they were great products, the whole, you know, the branding and everything. They thought they were great. And they said, Lindsay, you don't need us. Just go on and you'll do it yourself.
And I did.
So I'm glad, but I'd do it again, because the experience was great.
Gosh, I can't even imagine doing that. I mean, I think I would just be terrified. So talk to me about the company. Where do you see it in the next couple of years, the next 5 years? If you could see it, where do you imagine?
So I'm 55 now. So I'm sort of looking towards, will I ever retire? I don't know. I'll probably be in my 70s and still.
I feel the same way.
Knocking out walking sticks. I love it. I really enjoy it. For me, there's nothing to retire from. I'd miss it. So we'll keep working. We are looking in the future to make crutches.
Yes.
It's another... disabled people use different aids for different days. Sure. I did it. You know, I've had crutches, walking sticks, wheelchair, I've got the works, and I've used them all on different days. And we get asked so many times for crutches. So that's what we really, that would be, I would say, a 3-year plan. A 1-year plan just to consolidate where we are, just to not grow too quickly. I'm not a business person, but I've learned a lot and I soak up a lot from what people tell me. Sure. So sometimes it feels like it's running away with us a bit. So I just want to consolidate what we've got. But certainly in the next 3 years, I would say we'll be looking at crutches. Next 5 years, I don't know. I'll probably still be sat here with all my dogs and all my staff. And we'll probably just be doing the same thing. But that doesn't. That doesn't look bad to me, the future.
No, I love that. No, it's been beautiful to see it grow and beautiful to see, you know, the people being able to use it and just the Instagram posts of people being able to do so many things. And talk to me about what it's like. I've got mine right here. And this is the Christina Applegate one and the FUMS and, you know, the new, this was beautiful. And I love this, but talk to me about what it's felt like to have some the stars use these canes. What has that felt like?
When I first got an order, it was from Selma. I got the Selma.
Okay.
An order one morning and I was checking the order book and there was this order from Selma Blair and I thought, oh, how funny having a name the same as Selma Blair, thinking it would be someone else, you know. And then it turned out it wasn't, and she's become a great friend of the business, which in a roundabout way I think she recommended us to Christina when Christina was diagnosed. So, and Christina's become a great friend as well, you know. Super normal people that just have families and do the normal stuff that we all do. We've formed a great friendship, but hugely proud seeing them out there on the red carpets and people asking about them, just getting that chatter going again. Look, there's Christina. Yes. The walking stick, and that message, that one that I did for her, was a very special one for that she wanted to take to those awards. And it's her message that she wants to give. It's her, the way she lives with it. So that's why we designed the FUMS stick. Looks a little bit grungy. It looks a little bit.
Oh, I love it. I really love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great, and it's an opportunity for us to donate some money to MS charity.
Absolutely,
we're very, very much looking forward to doing.
Yeah, so. Which we appreciate so much.
You're welcome. We do something similar with another colour, where we donate some money to the Cancer Research UK, which it's a nice thing to do. It's nice to be able to give back, because these charities are really important to our customers. So that, you know, they're important. They're important to us.
Well, that's why I saw the orange and I'm like, orange. So of course that it was exciting, but it is, because like we talked about with the invisible diseases, it's tough, and it makes it more beautiful and easier for us to be able to come out if we are overly tired, when people may not see it every day. Obviously, most people would never guess that there was something wrong with me. If I'm out doing something, unless I've walked too long, people don't see my foot drag until I've done too much. And then I'm looking in the car immediately. And it's so beautiful to grab this, because it's more of a talking piece now about, oh, this is, where'd you get this? This is beautiful. Rather than, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? So that becomes this talking piece, rather than people staring at me like, Why is she walking so strange? What's going on? Yeah. So why, it makes it easier.
Why do people feel that they're able to walk up to you and say, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? Like, you're going to spill your medical history to a complete stranger. I just don't. And then you feel rude if you say, can you mind your own business?
Exactly. Or the same if your handicap placard's up and you're going into a store walking fine, because you know after this trip at the mall, you're not going to be walking so fine. You know, it's the same thing. Exactly. It's just, you want to say, can you mind your own business sometimes? And, but that's life.
Kind of is, but I wish it wasn't. Would you ever do that? Would you ever walk up to someone and say, I would never dream of it.
So now how is this with your walking sticks? Are there still days where there's times of depression with this, or do you feel with this, has it made you feel more empowered and there's not that?
No. I have days, often days where I do feel quite low, quite down, because my conditions, some of which are still being diagnosed, that aren't anything to do with losing my leg. Ironically, my leg's fine. it's absolutely okay. The rest of me that's falling apart. I am dealing again with that grieving, with that loss. You know, it is difficult, and I do wonder where I'm going to be in 2 or 3 years, and what I'm going to look like, and what my physicality is going to be, and what my needs are going to be. So I do worry about it. I do worry about it. But you believe in your support system, around you, and believe in yourself that you. God, you've been through so much already. You can do what the rest that's coming. You can do it.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I have to give myself a bit of a talking to sometimes, get a bit low on confidence sometimes. And I think I don't want to go out. I just don't want, because I know people probably do look at me. They'll glance at me. They won't. I don't think they'll linger on and stare at me, but I know people do look at me. And sometimes I think I just don't want that today. Thank you.
Yeah.
I shut myself in at home and just stay at home.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've got plenty of days like that. Plenty. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm no different to you, anybody else that's living with chronic illness. It is a process of grieving and loss and struggle and achievement. And then, you know, one step forward, two steps back. It changes all the time. Talk about goalposts moving. I mean, some days you can barely see them. They move so fast.
Yes, right. And I think too, with you, you are so busy. You are in the limelight a lot. So I think that pulling yourself back and being alone in the house is a very healthy thing. I think that you need that. If you didn't, I would think that that would be almost very unhealthy. You've got to have that time.
Yeah, not bad. Absolutely. And I love meeting people. When we go and do some exhibitions in Birmingham, we go every year, and I love meeting the people that come along and hearing their stories, and they want to hear my story.
Absolutely.
But when I dwell on my story sometimes when I say it, I think, God, that sounds really miserable. And I'm living it. This is my life. So yes, yeah. I just have to withdraw a bit. And
it takes a lot out of you to share your story. A lot.
It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? You give a lot, and you know, but it's life. It's what we've got.
Right.
And I'd rather have this life than none. And
absolutely.
I take this life any day over the other option. You know, we've fought hard to get to where we are, haven't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are a fighter, and you are inspiring. And it feels like you fought one disease or one thing, And it's like, and there's another around the corner. You're like, no, this can't be. I remember walking in with, you know, being told that I've got epilepsy, and I'm like, no, I refuse to accept that. This is just, I've already have two and I'm done. It's not acceptable. And she was like, you know, I know, sweetie, but it is what it is. And I'm like, no. So
I won't say when you get to 50, it's like being in Sniper's Alley. Everything's just trying to get you, and you're just dodging things as you go along.
Exactly. That's what my husband and I say. I'm like, no more. It's like, we've got our Apple Watches sunk to like seizures, heart issues at night. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't want to reverse it. So it's insane.
Oh, thank you. Move on to someone else.
Exactly. For sure.
You're so much like me. I see so much. that we have so much in common, you know.
I agree.
You've done nothing but smile all the way through this. And, you know, I think when you can do that, when you're fighting with what we're fighting with, it's a gift. It's lovely.
All right. You know, I'm not going to let you go unless you tell me about the circus. So you've got to tell me the circus. You got to talk to me.
Goodness. You know, at one point, someone asked me what my occupation was, and I had to say circus performer, because I was fully paid circus performer. But yeah, it came out of the blue. Was I interested in doing something for the ceremonies? That was it. All they could tell me, it was working at height. And I thought, not fond of heights, but we'll see. Just go along.
Now, I would have thought for sure you would be.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm not fond of them.
Okay.
So I went and did the audition. It was actually on a wire, like a body harness and a wire. So there was lots of, at the time I was doing lots of yoga as well. So I was I was the person that could, you know, hold myself straight. And they were like, whoa, you're really good.
You're really limber.
I got the gig, and I trained for 6 months to be a circus performer on trapeze, ropes, silks, all that. Yeah, it was amazing. And I performed in the opening and closing ceremonies of London.
Now, how old were you? Were your kids already born?
Oh, God, my kids were there in the audience. My mother came.
Oh, wow.
She nearly had a coronary when she saw what I was wearing to start with. No, the kids were like older teens. So they.
Oh, gosh. So they had to be. Were they embarrassed or excited?
They were just so proud. They were just.
Oh, good. Good.
Really, really proud.
Good.
Yeah, I did the opening and closing, but the closing ceremony was just unbelievable, because I performed a stunt on underneath a motorbike. So there was
amazing.
The big Olympic stadium, and then there was a high wire going from the ground right to the top of the stadium. And on this wire was a motorbike, and hanging for the motorbike on a trapeze was me.
Wow.
Flew across the stadium, and there was Coldplay playing underneath me.
That's you should be sending these videos out.
It was like the thing of a dream. I'll send you a link.
Wow, I want to see this. Man, that's awesome.
It was one of the most unbelievable nights I've ever had. So yeah,
when I read that, I was like, what?
Yeah, I know. Like as a performer. And then I carried on and did it for a few years. I went to Brazil, and we taught circus to the next, because Brazil got the Olympics after we did. So we went to Brazil a couple of times.
Right. Yeah.
Performed a lot in the UK. So yeah, I did a lot of circus. And
that's awesome.
Made friends that will never leave me, you know, we've made firm friends. That's
really neat.
Yeah, it was great.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Move It or Lose It podcast, where you can again find us wherever you like your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify. Join us on that. And we can't wait to see you again. We're going to have a lot of exciting guests and working together. And as always, you'll hear us say at the end of every podcast, we are stronger together. So let's do it. Let's become stronger together. Have a great day. Hey.